Yes. Mr. Speaker, I'm requesting time to speak.
Mr. Speaker, I'm happy on the part of the committee to yield 5 minutes to Representative Richardson.
The gentlelady is recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the ranking member for yielding time, and it's my understanding I'd be provided additional time if needed. I had no desire or intent to prolong the debate on this report, but given what has now been stated during this debate, which is contrary to what I understood to be agreed to, I want to make sure that my colleagues are aware of several issues critical to understanding the full context of this resolution. Member for yielding time.
Will allow both.
Mr. Speaker, I'm requesting time to speak.
Mr. Speaker, I'm happy on the part of the committee to yield 5 minutes to Representative Richardson.
The gentlelady is recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the ranking member for yielding time, and it's my understanding I'd be provided additional time if needed. I had no desire or intent to prolong the debate on this report, but given what has now been stated during this debate, which is contrary to what I understood to be agreed to, I want to make sure that my colleagues are aware of several issues critical to understanding the full context of this resolution. First, I want to assure my colleagues that contrary to the inflammatory suggestions in the full committee report, I do take these findings very seriously and do accept the responsibility for the specific conduct set out in the statement of alleged violations. Second, I set forth in my statement of views, including in the committee report, several significant concerns about the manner in which the committee conducted this investigation. I find it was interesting that the ranking member stated in the initial discussion that the subject of an investigation does not mean that an individual or a violation has occurred. Well, in fact, in this investigation, there are 7 areas where I feel that there has been a violation. Prejudgment and improper influence of witnesses by the Ethics Committee, the very matter that the ranking member just mentioned. And I'll state for the record what specifically was stated in those statement of views. During the Rule 18A inquiry at the outset of the committee's process, the committee counsel improperly influenced witnesses by telling them a year before any such decision had been made by the Ethics Committee that the Ethics Committee was likely to impanel an investigative subcommittee, thereby clearly signaling that the Ethics Committee staff at least already believed that I, Representative Richardson, was guilty of misconduct, and given the staff discussions, clearly influenced subsequent staff testimony. For example, during the interview of Angel Macias, a key staff witness, Ethics Council told Ms. Macias, it's completely up to the full committee on what they want to do. They make the final decision, which could be anything from dismiss the matter entirely to investigate it by impaneling an investigative subcommittee. The council continued, if that happens, you will be called, you will be placed under oath, so that is the process. Chances are, this is important, chances are they are going to want to impanel. This is according to Macias's transcript on number 34. Committee counsel told former District Director Eric Boyd during his first interview that the chances are very likely that you're going to be interviewed again. If you are interviewed again, it will be under oath and it will be in front of members of the committee. My recommendations could be anywhere from dismiss the matter as being, you know, not a violation or impanel an investigative subcommittee, or I think you probably know which way at this point we're looking. Eric Boyd's transcript, page 83 and 84. Committee counsel told district staffer Candace Yamagawa, the committee's choices in this matter are to dismiss the matter because the information received lacks merit or lacks sufficient information to believe a violation occurred, or we recommend that an investigative subcommittee be impaneled. You actually won't hear back from us until such time we decide to interview you again. And the reason is that, as I said, everything is done confidentially. I expect that we would not be able to impanel an investigative subcommittee until the beginning of the 112th Congress, because there's insufficient time left in this Congress to do so. So more than likely it would be January we would impanel, doing any additional work. And then finally, the committee counsel told Kenneth Miller during his first Rule 18A interview on November 2010 that when I present the findings to the member, I will be giving them a full briefing on what I believe was violated, be it House rules, campaign law, or federal criminal statutes. Miller testimony, page 47. During these interviews with my staff, the committee attorneys made clear to staff witnesses that the Ethics Committee staff had already determined that I had committed violations at the very first stages of the preliminary inquiry. Committee staff explicitly requested that my staff not speak with my own counsel, a recognized form of prosecutorial misconduct, which effectively deprived me of opportunity to actually learn of the specific allegations against me until the final stages of this investigation. And after the resolution had been negotiated, new and additional allegations appeared in the investigative subcommittee report, supported by attorney proofers that I still, to this date, have never seen. The full committee report takes issues with my raising these concerns, stating that the resolution of the matter, that I waived all my procedural rights, and that the time lodging for these objections have passed. These concerns should be taken seriously by the committee as I brought them forward. Third, but most importantly, I request additional time.
Mr. Speaker, I would inquire of the gentlelady from California, how much additional time does she intend to seek? Because as I have heard her comments, respectfully, it sounds like those were all contained in her response, which was included in the report submitted to the House. So I would ask, how much additional time would you be seeking to conclude your comments?
Well, I was told that I would be allowed to continue to request additional time to complete my presentation. I would say approximately, I think, less than 5 minutes.
Mr. Speaker, I will grant the gentlelady five additional minutes.
The gentlelady is recognized for an additional 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The purpose of me standing today, and I had no intentions of speaking, because I believe we had agreed to a certain format of what would have occurred. But the most important issue that I bring forward is the comments of Mr. Dent. Third, with respect to the count of charging obstruction of the committee investigation, I want to make clear that the statement of alleged violations does not assert anywhere that I deliberately failed to produce documents in response to requests for information and a subpoena as referenced in yesterday's public statement by the chair and the ranking member. I did not admit to this conduct, and I certainly do deny it, and it's my understanding that the committee is aware that in fact it was not included. With respect to the conduct to which I did admit, my statement of views explains that my office calendars were adjusted retroactively, but only to accurately reflect the history of the time worked by my deputy district director. Discussions about that adjustment, in fact, took place before the committee commenced its inquiry. I did, at the very beginning of the committee's preliminary inquiry, suggest, and Mr. Chairman, I think this is very important, I acknowledge the statement of alleged violations. In fact, much of which has been said today has been, in fact, true. But what I want to make emphatically clear, and what I want to emphasize, that I've never taken or threatened any action against any staffer who did not volunteer to work on my campaign. There is no doubt that a number of staff felt compelled or coerced to do so. That was not my intent, and I deeply regret that this occurred. And so I want to make sure very clear to the committee, I'll repeat that statement. There is no doubt that a number of staff felt compelled or coerced to do so, and that was not my intent, and I deeply do regret that this occurred. I never told any staff member that they would be out of a job if they did not work on the campaign, and it is undisputed that I was not present at the staff meeting at which the time the statement was made. With that context and these clarifications, Mr. Speaker, I respectfully ask that my colleagues would refer, as was stated by the committee, that they would refer to my public reference to this matter, my statement of views, which are included in the report. As I conclude, Mr. Chairman and the ranking member, I look forward to the resolution of this matter. In fact, I've sought the resolution of this matter for well over a year. and I have agreed to the items that were set forward. However, some of the details that were set in the language that was said today was not what had been discussed. And so for the record, I wanted to clarify that. With that, I reserve the balance of my time.
Gentlelady may not reserve her time. The time is controlled by the gentleman from Alabama. Gentlelady from California.
Mr. Speaker, I yield such time as I may consume.
Gentlelady is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just feel it's important to point out several important issues that were raised by Ms. Richardson in her comments on the floor today. Much of what she has stated on the floor today were included in the views that she filed after reviewing the report that was issued. She raised these points in her views of the report, and I feel compelled to add that the committee took those views very seriously, and they responded and refuted those points in its response to her views, which is all included in the report, which has been made publicly available. Nothing that has been stated on the floor today by any member, but most especially Mr. Dent, is not all, are statements that are already included in the report to which Representative Richardson has responded. And again, many of the points that she raised, we investigated, took very seriously, and included in our response to those views. So I don't think that there's much anything further to add other than she has been given an opportunity to voice her concerns at every step of the process, and we have scrupulously adhered to a process to try to take her views and her suggestions into account, and we have arrived at the report, which is unanimously agreed on by all of the committee members. And with that, I would reserve the balance of my time.
Gentlelady's time is reserved. Gentleman from Alabama.
Mr. Speaker, I'm prepared to close. If the gentlelady, the ranking member, has no further speakers.
I have no further speakers.
Does the gentlelady yield back?
I yield back the balance of my time.
Gentlelady yields back her time. Gentleman from Alabama.
Mr. Speaker, in closing, I want to once again thank members of the committee as well as members of the pool for their tremendous service that they render to this institution. And on behalf of the entire House, I want to again thank the nonpartisan professional committee staff for their extraordinary hard work and commitment to the House of Representatives and to the American people that we all serve. As is often noted on the floor, especially during somber moments like this, public office is a public trust. And for the vast majority of members who have been honored with the opportunity, the privilege, to serve in this, the people's house, there is an unspoken duty to hold ourselves up to a higher standard. Unfortunately, as Representative Richardson has admitted, she did not live up to that higher standard. And as such, she did a disservice to her staff, to her colleagues. And while it is ultimately up to her constituents in California to be the final judge of her actions, I think it's safe to say she did a disservice to the hardworking taxpayers from all corners of this country who expect and deserve more from their elected leaders. Throughout the course of this matter, the investigative subcommittee heard desperate, sometimes emotional pleas for help from members of Representative Richardson's staff. Representative Dent has shared at least one of the stories with the body today. And even since word first broke yesterday of this resolution this morning, the committee has received calls from other staffers thanking us for bringing this matter to a public resolution. As a former Hill staffer myself, I have great respect for those staffers who were willing to come to the Ethics Committee with their stories and heartfelt concerns. That is not an easy thing to do against a member of Congress, particularly when that person claims to be your boss and you're made to feel that your job is in jeopardy. At the end of the day, however, we must remember and never forget that the real employer for us all are the American people. I was particularly moved by one of Representative Richardson's former staffers who testified, and I quote, "This certainly should not be an example as to the way an elected official of this country should conduct themselves under any circumstance." And Mr. Speaker, I am simply haunted by the statement of another staffer that Mr. Dent referenced, a lady who was part of the Wounded Warrior Program, someone who was willing to risk her life in service to her country and ended up coming home a disabled veteran. She told the committee, and it bears repeating, "It is sad to say that I would rather be at war in Afghanistan than work under people who are morally corrupt." Mr. Speaker, while some might prefer a harsher sentence, and perhaps even a few might think a reprimand is too severe, I urge my colleagues to support the unanimous recommendation of the only evenly divided committee in this House of Representatives. And with that, I yield back the balance of our time.
Without objection, the previous question is ordered. The question is on adoption of the resolution. All those in favor of the resolution shall say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. And without objection, a motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Mr. Speaker,
Alabama,
I ask unanimous consent that all members may have 5 legislative days in which to revise and extend their remarks and include extraneous material on H.Res. 755.
Without objection.